make a motion to call meeting to order.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item on the agenda tonight is Hannah Street reconstruction. Consideration to approve the preliminary design of the Hannah Street reconstruction project as presented, with the flexibility to adjust the sidewalk location within the right-of-way based on obstacles, grades, and other factors. So, Andy, would you do the summary for us, please?
I'll be very brief, Mayor. Thank you very much for that. This project is one we've been working on for a while, and we've got along with the same goal in the time. Larry here is from C2AE to discuss all the elements of the project. We had our community meeting with the residents of Hannah Street. They're all definitely in support of the project. A few had concerns with sidewalk locations and some grade issues, but Larry and I have met with them and discussed that with them today, and he'll be able to cover that in further detail. So without further ado,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, I'm going to start with actually the overall project location is Hannah Street from State Street to Vogel Street. It's a pretty standard residential street configuration, and if you've driven Charlevoix Street, it will look just like that in terms of the roadway, with 22 feet of pavement and 2-foot concrete curb and gutter. There will be proposing a 5-foot sidewalk on the west side of the road. This roadway suffers from some poor soil conditions, high groundwater. It's a badly deteriorated roadway. There will be some undercutting and dewatering. We will be installing trench drains to try to alleviate some of the high groundwater table, a new storm sewer system, new water main for the majority of it. And that's pretty much the focus of the project. The alignment of Hannah Street, if you've driven it, you can see that it's not placed in the center line of the right-of-way. It actually has quite a bend or bow near North and Clark Street, where it's shifted to the west. There's a ditch on the east side. There are homes that are quite close to the right-of-way, especially on the east side. When we originally looked at this, we talked about trying to center the roadway within the right-of-way, but it really created too many conflicts. So there were power pole line that basically on the east side would have to all come out and be moved back. A lot of trees and other obstacles on the east side. And so we thought that it'd be best in this particular instance to adjust the roadway to the east as we can without causing too much disturbance. And I think we've accomplished that through this project. As Andy mentioned, we had a public information meeting and a really good show out for a small area last week to discuss this. Everyone seemed to be quite in favor of the project as it's shown. The only issues we had were two individuals with regards to the sidewalk. One just didn't really want sidewalk, especially on the west side near his home. The other was a grade issue in front of a garage. And if you drive this, you'll see this. The garage is located very close to the right-of-way. And currently, the individual has room to park in front of his garage. This is a secondary garage, by the way. There's a larger garage back behind the home, so two driveways. So by placing the sidewalk here, was going to eliminate his ability to park perpendicular to the garage. You can see on the east side of the road, you know, the size of this truck and how it would fit in there, and definitely would be violating the city ordinance by parking over a sidewalk if he were to park there. So that was his concern. The other concern is he's got two retaining walls that come out from this garage, one holding up this tree and then the other on the other side. So there's a depression here that we need to accommodate. So in meeting with him today, we did discuss some options and we had prepared some stuff in advance. And basically, we know we have to make some sidewalk adjustments in most cases throughout any project to avoid trees or other obstacles. In this particular case, it appears that it's practical to move the sidewalk to the back of the curb in this location, provide him with a fairly wide drive approach that he could parallel park between the sidewalk and the garage, still accommodate his one vehicle parking in that location, mm-hmm. and then also accommodate the sidewalk. And really, for grade conditions, this does help mm-hmm. the grading in this area because of this retaining wall. Although in further discussions, this retaining wall is in very poor condition, the tree's in poor condition, and he'd really like both of them removed as part of the project anyway. So, but I think by doing this, we can accommodate that concern, mm-hmm. and with mm-hmm. that, I think everyone was really pretty happy with the project. Mm-hmm. Ready to see it move forward.
Thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm. Department heads, comment? Citizens' comments. I don't believe we have anybody here tonight from Anna Street, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Would you wish to make a comment in regards to the project?
No, I was just wondering when it would start.
You're ready. Okay. Thank you. So we can move to the commission then. Tom, would you like to start?
I'm in full support, and I'd like to hear some other comments so we can have any questions, but right now I don't have any questions.
Okay. Gene?
No, I have no questions. I'm ready to move on with it.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question on the, as far as like a zoning issue and how close that is to the right-of-way. Was that still going to be legal within the city requirements?
The right-of-way is not changing.
Okay. So the fact that it would be right on top of the sidewalk wouldn't have been an issue?
All that is in within the right-of-way. The right-of-way line is not changing. So that's not going to affect. It's going to be closer to the sidewalk and street, but that, as far as zoning goes, that doesn't affect.
Okay. So the building location was within setback far enough?
I don't know that. It may not be pre-existing non-conforming.
Right.
But the right-of-way line is not changing.
A lot of the issues that we had on some of the design factors here,
yeah.
were buildings on both sides of the street were really pushed up right up against the road. A lot of them had bad soils in the back, and to be candid with you, I don't think a lot of them will meet our current zoning, okay. but they are there. I mean, they're there, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about that, so we kind of had to work around them the way they are. This doesn't change anything. It's still an existing condition, so us putting the sidewalk in there. Again, this is another one of those situations where you're trying to fit something in where it wasn't before, and then you have to make a little bit of a compromise to make it work. So ideally, would we allow a garage like that up against a property line in the future? No.
Right. So the recommendation is with the jutting the sidewalk out, or running it straight through?
Our recommendation is that the commission allows us to make modifications like this to get the project correct. Yes.
Right.
And we'll make sure that you're aware of any of those types of changes that we're doing. This is one that we'll probably go forward with.
Okay.
Unless you have some
so we're probably leaning in that direction
yes.
at this location.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I need. Thanks.
Laura?
Yeah, some of the standard things. We're going to be putting in a new sewer line, you said, pretty much the whole length or not the entire length?
New water main.
Or water main.
Yes,
okay.
About 80% of the length.
Okay. That's just a curious question. And then, are we putting in conduit at all for underground? Are we going down deep enough to lay conduit along there for any future purpose? Okay, so that's not part of the...
No.
Okay, all right. I like the jog in the sidewalk. I don't like straight guts. Anyway, I like meandering sidewalks, so I'm in favor of that. And then down on Vogel Street, that's going to connect to the sidewalk going to be planned there.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if you go out by Vogel by the brook right now, you'll see that they've been doing a lot of the site work to get that prepped up. They'll be bringing that sidewalk close to when we get to Hannah Street, but we'll leave a gap in there. The sidewalk won't be completed all the way to Hannah Street, so they can make some adjustments and make sure that they tie in nicely.
Okay, that sounds good.
So when you see some project going there and stopping, the reason we're stopping is so we can tie it in and make sure that they match up well together and don't have an abrupt change or something.
Okay.
Yes, it will tie in at that intersection. Then in future years, we'll look at possibly extending that further down towards, I think it's Jefferson, where we have that whole loop that'll take us over to Lake Street and the Glens Plaza.
All right, and then my other standard question, how does it affect the trees along there? And are we putting in any plantings as we go?
With regards to the trees, there would be almost no impact to existing trees.
Okay.
I want to go back to that. We did discuss that with each of the property owners. There's a concern with this bush that's just north of the garage we were talking about, that we're probably going to adjust the sidewalk out a little bit or move the bush back.
Okay.
There were some questions or concerns about some of the spruce trees on the east side down towards the south end that we are going to be able to avoid. Basically, the ditch will be filled in, so we'll grade to the back of the ditch now and fill it in and make it lawn area.
Okay.
But we won't have to go much further than
all
that.
Right.
So we will discuss that during construction with each of the property owners as to would they like us to grade all the way to the property line and impact the trees or not impact the trees.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
I'm in full support of the project. You guys have done a great job on Sherwood Street and all the projects so far. And it's, you got some top-notch talent working on this, so it's, I'm ready to go with it. And ready for the motion unless there's any further discussion.
Do we know what the startup time will be?
Approximately the end of August, mid to end of August is our current schedule.
Okay.
Thank you.
And how long till completion after that?
I anticipate a 4 to 5 week construction period.
Oh, okay. That's pretty
good.
Pretty short, yeah.
It's
not real bad.
And as per our standard practice, we'll have another public information meeting once the contractors have been selected. It'll come back to the commission first, then we'll meet with the residents and go over the specific schedules and impact at that time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary design of the Hannah Street reconstruction project as presented, with flexibility to adjust the sidewalk location of the right-of-way based on obstacles, grades, or other attributes.
One second.
Roll call, please.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item tonight is service of alcohol on city sidewalks, ordinance discussion. Consideration to review the Boyne City Zoning Ordinance, Section 10-20Q, regarding the allowance of alcohol service on sidewalks in the Central Business District, and to make a determination if changes of the existing policy should be explored. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. Currently in the city zoning ordinance in the Central Business District, there is allowance for cafes or restaurants to have outdoor seating areas. We do this with an annual permit every spring. We mail it out. It's a $10 permit to put out tables and chairs and serve food. The ordinance specifically prohibits alcohol. Earlier this year, Hospitality submitted an application, and they specifically requested alcohol, and also it was in the waterfront marina district. Because of those two factors, the permit could not be approved. One, it wasn't in the correct district, and two, they requested alcohol. In response to that, they submitted a written request to the city to further explore this issue, and if the city does wish to pursue exploring this, we could develop ordinances that could accomplish serving it all in the Central Business District or other districts. You could look at changing the zoning ordinance, or you could also look at other standalone police power ordinances that would regulate just alcohol. We've looked at some other communities and what they've done. And there's a mixture out there, some regulated through a police power ordinance, some have a zoning ordinance, some have both. Some have, you know, the elements regulated under zoning where you can put the tables and chairs, and then if they want to have alcohol, they have a specific license that the city commission would approve. So if you wish to pursue this, we can explore it and come back to you with some recommendations.
Thank you, Scott. Mary, would you like to address the commission?
I think, yeah, I would. I guess the MLCC regulates pretty heavily. What we would do as Magnum Hospitality, we tried it like 12 years ago, I want to say, we opened the subject with Red Mesa. And I'm not sure what happened. It got denied, and so it was the food. So we kind of let that go, and we did the river, you know, patio back there. And so it got opened again with Sante because we had a meeting, and we were thinking, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, the guests that came could have, you know, we were thinking about putting 6 tables and chairs, just 2 tops in front of that brick wall there, and then you would, you know, rope it in because the Michigan Liquor Control Commission requires you to rope it in and requires you to have, you know, your server and host, you know, seat the people, and then our servers would then, you know, distribute food and beverage out there. And so there wouldn't be like people going up to a bar and coming out and just sitting outside. And so that's kind of why we decided to open the box again. And that's about where we landed.
Thank you. Do we have any other staff members or department heads wish to make a comment in regards to this?
You have in your agenda packet that it was also discussed at the Main Street Board meeting. You have a recommendation that the City Commission allowed me to research on the matter and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Hugh, did you wish to make a comment?
Oh, just that.
Just that.
The Main Street Board.
Right, that's in the write-up. Yes.
I recommend that this be explored.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move to the Commission then. Laura, would you like to start?
Well, at first glance at this and first thought is, I'm not really in favor of alcohol on the sidewalks. In your situation, like at Cafe Sante and walking down there and viewing that area, that's a little bit different situation, you know, and especially if you're going to plan on roping it off. Because usually a sidewalk cafe serves alcohol, from my knowledge of it, which is fairly limited, it's usually separated somehow from the main sidewalk. And I guess, you know, it opens up, if you do it for your establishment, then anyone who serves alcohol in town can set up on the sidewalk and serve alcohol.
Right. Yeah, and the order to intermit, well, just comment on it, I guess, is that I would view, I was done and I took some time the other day and kind of looked at the front of Red Mesa. Mm-hmm. And our original thoughts at Red Mesa 12 years ago, and that's where we got the planters, because we were down in Chicago and I think in Ann Arbor, and we were noticing how in the summer they rope off areas. Mm-hmm. You have to rope it off. The MLCC requires you that you have to be in a space and you have to have a sign that says alcohol cannot leave this, you know, these premises where you're located, where we take you. And so that's already, you know, done for us by the Michigan Control Commission. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of look at it as, you know, really it would enhance, I think, to me a little bit, the tourist experience, the guest experience, because then they'd be able to, kind of while they're waiting, they could sit in a pretty nice area. We'd, you know, make sure we make the area nice with flower boxes and the way we would rope it off. And the way that it reads now with food, you can serve food out to, you have to leave 4 feet from the public sidewalk, is the way it reads now. And so we kind of read that. We wouldn't even take, you know, we would probably leave 5 and 5. I think we measured it was 10 feet, roughly, in front of Red Mesa. And that we would do 5 feet is what we kind of just tentatively talked about, if, you know, things would proceed ahead.
Yeah, somehow it just, I don't know if I like the idea of serving alcohol out on the sidewalk, even if it is roped off in the heart of the downtown. You know, if it's a situation where it's set apart, that maybe that's a little different. But then you have to make the rule that applies to everyone. So I have a little bit of, I guess I need to give it a lot of thought and maybe, you know, like you say, look into it. But at this point, I'm not really
well,
leaning that way, you know.
Before we did the patio out back at Red Mesa, we originally wanted to have dining, full dining. I mean, breakfast here, or lunch and dinner, and then you'd be able to have a margarita with your chips and salsa and your Twister. And so, you know, and then when the alcohol got shut down, we kind of thought, well, we don't want to have an experience that you can't have the whole dining experience of Red Mesa. And so that's why we opted not to do anything at that point in time, which is food. And so it's not like it's just a bar out there. I mean, we wouldn't offer a full menu, but we would offer some appetizers to tide them over while they were waiting for
If somebody wanted to sit down and just have a drink, they could do that.
Yes, and they can do that inside too. Yeah.
So that's, I guess, where
we wanted to have the same, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the sidewalk going up to your establishment or anyone on Water Street or anywhere in the district is city property. Am I not right
yes,
on that?
Yes, yeah, in both locations.
So say if there was an incident, or and of course that would apply, but an incident, say, where somebody had too much alcohol and got into their vehicle and drove away, then who is responsible?
I think it's falls on us with that, but I wouldn't have to investigate.
I mean, is it the establishment responsible, or is it the city?
Our liability that we carry.
Yeah, I just wonder where the liability is on that.
I believe it falls on us because we're serving it. But I'd have to talk to a professional.
Okay. Derek?
I'd like to get the input of the interim chief, Ransberg. What do you see as, or if any, potential issues with alcohol in those products? Because obviously it's not just going to be Cafe Sante. They're going to do it at Red Mesa. Everybody else with liquor license is going to, yeah, due to competition, is going to want to take advantage of it. So and we have to assume that everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, I believe the commission is going to go forward and make an ordinance. There should probably be a standalone law enforcement ordinance, and you can get very specific in that as far as the roping off or whatever. It's not necessarily roping off. It's LCC refers to it as barrier. They don't any longer specify what the barrier has to be, but your ordinance could specify what the barrier is. So it might not be just a rope. It could be something a little more substantial. As far as the rules, liquor consumption, driving, mm-hmm, liabilities, that's no different than if they're inside the restaurant and drink too much and go out and drive away. It's illegal to do that, legal-wise, right. Liability-wise. Mm-hmm. Liability can fall everywhere and generally will fall to the people serving the alcohol, which also can be criminal liability. There can be criminal charges for over-serving also, mm-hmm, and Liquor Control, mm-hmm, Commission charges. But as long as it's in the context of a restaurant where food and liquor are being served outside together and the restrictions are put in place in the ordinance, I don't see that it would be that big of an issue, as long as it's not a dancing in the streets, partying bar out on the sidewalk, which your ordinance would cover that.
Right.
State it's not just going to be a bar out there. I think it's something we could work with, as long as all the pieces are in place in an ordinance.
So that would require us to not just approve that, we have to actually go through and create a separate ordinance then.
Yeah, what's before us tonight is just, is this something that the commission even wants staff to consider? Or we go and check, mm-hmm, with other communities, answer, or try and address a lot of the questions that are coming up, and then bring it back and say, okay, here's kind of the rough framework of something that we could do. You want us to pursue it even further and then take it into ordinance form. And any one of these stops or steps, the commission may say, no, you spent enough time on that to move on to something else. It's not a priority. That's what we're bringing it to you today, sure, to see, is this something that's enough of an interest pursue.
I think we should pursue it. I have no concerns with Magnum Hospitality. Everything they've done has been first class. You know, we have to assume that everybody or anybody with a liquor license would want to take advantage of that opportunity, like I said. And you know, as far as the barrier, is a rope enough, or are we talking like metal grating, permanent, semi-permanent, you know, that type of thing.
Derek?
Yes?
And that's something that, as I say, you can address. But I think some of the other communities that have done it,
right,
some of them require a separate permit through the city, mm-hmm, for the outside service, too.
Okay.
And that gives you even more control.
Sure.
Just another thing to be considered.
Great. That's all I have right now.
Jane? Well, I've already received some calls on this from some of our citizens, and they are strongly against changing the ordinance. And I also believe the policy should not change. I believe the sale of alcohol on a public sidewalk, all this is going to bring up is a lot of other issues. So I'm against it. Dan?
Outside dining is a very prominent happening in a lot of resort towns. Am I right, Mary?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's in downtown Ann Arbor. I think every time I take a vacation, it seems like a pretty cool thing to see outside dining. So I would like to pursue it, and I think that we have the talents to regulate it. So.
Mary?
I guess I kind of wonder what some of the fears are, just so that I know what's out there. You know, you said a couple of citizens have called with concerns, and that, you know, you're concerned that, you know, there's no alcohol on the street. I guess I kind of wonder if there's been some points and cases or histories that I don't know about, or...
Well, they didn't say that, but what they were thinking was, well, one place is going to want it, another place is going to want it, like Derek had said, and that was their concern, that they don't want Wine City to be known as a place to come and have a drink outside on the sidewalk.
Oh, okay. I guess because I think about Ann Arbor, I visit Ann Arbor, you know, on occasion, it's really nice. I like the atmosphere that it allows when you do arrive in that city and you walk around their downtown area. It's a nice atmosphere. I get, you know, I see people out sitting and relaxing and enjoying the very cool season that we have, I guess, in the state of Michigan. And I think, well, how nice it is that you can maximize that time in the summer to be outside.
And I think you bring a good point. I think we're only talking...
It's short.
20 to 30 days at the moment.
Correct, it's short.
I mean, it's a short season. It's an opportunity to...
And well, and within that, it depends on the year. And this year, it's been unusually kind of, you know, the weather's been pretty extreme. You know, we go from 90s to 30s, and so it's Michigan. And so each year, some years, we can have great. We may have more than, you know, we have 40 days, but some years, we could have 40. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just always like the atmosphere. And so that's what, again, that's why we bring it up for discussion. You know, we thought about, you know, you're in Europe. You go to Europe, and they're al fresco everywhere. Everybody's enjoying, because, again, they're out there enjoying the nice weather.
Yeah, they weren't against the outside dining
right
on the sidewalk. They're just against the outside, the drinking on the sidewalk.
Well, right, and I think, again, I just say that I think if they have outside dining, and I see it in front of, like, Water Street Cafe, but nobody really utilizes it. I don't really see people dining out there. And I can't think of anybody else who has tables on the sidewalk right now. And we haven't utilized it because, again, we want them to have the whole package. You know, we want, you know, if we use it, you know, in different, they have appetizers and drinks is the way we kind of consider thinking while they're waiting. You know, for a table, we can incur an hour and a half, 2 hour waits. It's pretty normal. And we thought, well, boy, how nice it would be to have them have, you know, an appetizer and a cocktail, or it could be iced tea, but a cocktail is in order. We 30% of our business is alcohol, 70 is food.
I guess one comment. You do have an outdoor area right now that's seating.
Oh, yeah, seating. We do. Yeah, that's full.
You know, and you have, like, the porch, the enclosed porch area, which is seating, which is outside dining.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant on the corner, the old Cooper's now, you know, the Hungry Goat.
Thirsty Goat
or whatever. I'm sorry. you know, they have an outdoor dining area, which is, you know, fenced in, and that's private. That becomes part of their establishment. And for me, I think that's really, really a nice addition to have those areas. The BRI has a little dining area on the little deck overlooking the river. And those are outdoor seating dining areas, which I think are real appropriate for that. I just don't see it on the sidewalk serving alcohol. I can see having a light lunch or a snack or something else and sitting and conversing, but a lot of people, I think, maybe what the problem is, a lot of people in this community, and I have to say, this is not a bad thing or a good thing, it's just a lot of people don't want to expose their children to alcohol or watching, you know, adults drink alcohol. And there are people who are that way. They just don't want that exposure for them. They won't, you know, go into a bar with their kids. You know, it's I don't know. It's just not... I guess I hear that from people, so I just pass that along. And that might be part of it.
Well, and I guess I can comment a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Red Mesa, it's amazing how many families we serve in Red Mesa.
it's funny because now we go to Sante and it seems just a little bit more adult. It's a little bit higher price average on track. And so you don't see as many kids, but in the Mesa, at any given time, I'd say it's 50% kids, it seems like, it someday. I mean, I, you know, and so
yeah,
it's interesting.
I do hear that comment from people,
right,
too.
Okay.
So it's...
Because, yeah, I guess today I wanted to, and I think with, I, just to, do we want to, how much energy do I want to spend and then have it not get approved? So I guess we'll find out with the next one.
It sounds like we're kind of split. You know, I think food and drink celebrate festivities and the walkability and the outside and, the, and all the things that we're trying to do in Boyne. Food and drink just add to that. And I have no problem with doing nothing more tonight than pursuing it. But it's a divided vote, so I don't know how much you want to just pursue it.
Well, I haven't weighed in on this either anymore. And it's, you know, Boyne City's become basically a, you know, a restaurant destination besides, you know, the tourist experience here, too. And it's... and whatever we can do to enhance that and have full control of it. So I think it just, in a way it's keeping up with the times, but before any of this can happen and change any of the current ordinances, we'd have to have public hearings and we probably two of them. So it, whether I like it or I dislike it, it would really have no bearing on the process that it'd have to go through to, you know, make it a reality. But I really think it should have, you know, be further explored and direct the staff to obtain input and set up the public hearings and whatever the, you know, the process needs to be to give it an up and down vote. So, I think the people will speak, you know, but some that may be contentious, some that might be total support, but that's what we're here for. It's a democracy, and, you know, let it work. So, well, call for a motion.
I'll make a motion that staff is to review the Boyne City Ordinance, Zoning Ordinance, Section 10.2, regarding the allowance of alcohol service on sidewalks in the Central Business District, and make a determination if changes to the existing policy should be explored.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
No.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next on tonight's agenda is the an update from our city manager in regards to city facilities. Mike, I'll let you take the wheel.
Thank you, Mayor. As the commission is well aware, one of our top city goals for some time is to improve this complex that currently houses the city offices, police department, fire department, and Department of Public Works. The water, wastewater department, ambulance EMS department, and our seasonal marina operations are currently off-site. Over time, between studies and discussions, the general consensus has been to consolidate our operations here on the existing site while adding some off-season equipment storage facilities, mainly at the Public Works North Boyne Yard site. Last fall, we conducted soil borings around this site. The results of these samples confirm that it is possible to build or expand here, although some soil stabilization efforts may be necessary. In the spring, in our new budget, we set aside $1 million of our city reserves to be used towards improvements on this site. As I've been trying to work this matter through in my mind, the area I've struggled the most with is the financial. To replace all of the facilities currently located on this site was estimated to exceed well over $5 million in 2007. With going out into debt or adding some new millage onto our taxpayers, we do not have the funds available to do all that someone would like to see done. I've not detected from our citizens a desire for either the additional debt or a new millage to fund this project. Other projects maybe, but not necessarily new city facilities. That's why I propose moving forward in a phased approach for using our existing facilities as much as possible. Based on our discussions up to this point, and everything we've talked about with regards to siting and how we lay out facilities and take drive-through lanes, all that type of stuff, I think it makes the most sense to look at the expansion that brings our ambulance EMS facilities back to this site, and then also reuses the existing space in this building to better meet our current needs of our city office, police department, EMS, and ambulance staffs, while positioning ourselves to better meet the needs of our fire department and Department of Public Works personnel. If we were to try and go ahead and do all the components, or probably even, we might be able to make it, but it might be a stretch to do the ambulance and the fire at one, and then still do something with the back building, we're still probably gonna be looking well in excess of $1 million that we've got budgeted. So we're gonna have to look to see how we can do this incrementally. Are there ways that we can build on to this site and then possibly also recuperate some savings if we do some efficiency operations with regards to this building as well, too. I'm really kind of energized by what I've seen take place with the Boeing Country Provisions. Mm-hmm. Basically, what that was is a block wall building, mm-hmm. which was in pretty crummy shape. They did a nice job gussing it up. Yeah. But I've gone through there as they've done the renovations on that, mm-hmm. and how they've blown the roof out, put new insulation on the exterior, made more space on the inside, took basically empty mm-hmm. block walls and mm-hmm. basically insulated it, mm-hmm. and made it into a much more functional, attractive building that I think will mm-hmm. serve them well for years to come. I kind of look at taking some of those elements as we go forward with this project as well here. Mm-hmm. The question is, how do we take these rough concepts that are floating around in each of our minds and turn them into some reality that we can do something with? There's basically two ways to do it that I see. One, we go through the typical means of hiring an architect or an engineering firm to basically come up with the design of a building. And then we put it out for bids, much like we do any of our other projects. Or the other one that I'm currently exploring, and unfortunately Larry left here, but I've also talked to Larry and also to John Jasinski of Premier Builders, who's located here in Boyne City area, mm-hmm. done a lot of nice commercial properties in the area. Looking at a design build concept with regards to that to see if that makes some sense for us as well too. And seeing which of those might be most helpful in us designing an overall concept of what we want to do here and put it into concepts that we can actually begin to implement as well. I've got some of my staff here that hate the look of this room as it is right now, as commission chambers.
Yep.
In my mind, I don't see this room as our commission chambers in the future, so I don't mind not spending money on it because it's just going to be wasted money. I see our commission chambers in the back of the building someplace, mm-hmm. probably in the MSU extension offices or in the, where the police department is now as we look to relocate and move things around this building. Those are the types of pieces that we need to sit down with somebody that's going to actually hear the concepts, lay them out. Are we going to be able to do it in a price, in a cost-effective manner and move on? Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what we're going to do with that back building yet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of discussion that we'd like to see that thing disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me for interrupting you, but you're talking about a concept of design and build. Could you put that out on an RFP, you know, from maybe there's two or three contractors in this community that would like to do a design and build concept, you know, it just
correct.
But you know, mm-hmm. they're going to have sweat equity in it, and time and ingenuity and everything else. But
whichever,
you know, design and build is, you hire somebody and you know, it's not really a bid process. It's mm-hmm. In this case, it'd be a concept process, I would think, too, mm-hmm. and being able to deliver it at something we can afford.
My understanding at this point is that there's basically, I discussed two of the three methods that I think that are out there. In addition to the straight architectural bid, the typical engineering or design mm-hmm. scenario, at the other end of the spectrum, you'll have more of the design build type of thing. And somewhere in the middle, there's kind of a cross-reference between them where you, and I don't have all the specifics yet. I've got a meeting set up with Mr. Jasinski next week to follow up that further, where they kind of take the best elements of both sides. You put it out for bids where you hire basically a design consultant and almost a construction manager that would help you through the processes so you bid their services out, come up with the concepts, and then you go out to bids again, or they go out for bids to get the actual workers to do the work on it. So they would prepare your initial designs or cost estimates, things of that nature, and then you go out and follow up like that. It'd almost be hiring like a company like the Crispin Group is one of the names that has been mentioned to me in these types of projects as well, too. So irregardless of any which way of those three approaches we go, we're going to need some professional help. And my recommendation to you, design work, there's other type of professional help I might need, but anyway, my request and where I think we're at now is I think within the next, I don't want to say 60, 90 days with regards to it, come back with all those services, the bids back with regards to here's what we're going to. Mm-hmm. Here's who's going to actually get us to where we need to go. Mm-hmm. So we have the cost estimates and can get that work done. So since we've last met, you know, I've played around with the designs, looked at ideas of having trucks drive out into the front and how we can reuse these buildings. I've got some ideas, but again, I can only take it so far, and I need somebody to actually cross-check me to see if I'm thinking straight or if I'm just kind of dreaming. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation to you is that you authorize the staff to go out and seek professional services. It'll be one of those three approaches. We bring that back to you as to why we're going to do it. We're not going to hire anybody without it coming back to the city commission, but to get those materials done.
So are we considering a second story, possibly? With an elevator and then put a nice meeting room up top where you have a nice view?
I don't think anything should be off the table.
Okay.
That is something that I've discussed with regard with a couple of the commissioners or thought of as well too. There's pros and cons with regards to that, and whether the structure would be able to support some of that. We've had some settling issues in the past on certain segments of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's additional costs associated with it, but there's some benefits with regards to it too. The thing I keep... in addition to the cost, I mean, we've got all these conflicting things. If money was no object, we knock the site down and we put up the building exactly the way it was. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't figured out a way to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things I keep struggling with, and I've mentioned this in some of the previous meetings, is view corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, this building, the way it's laid out right now, is long.
Mm-hmm.
It's short and long.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking, okay, unless we take down part of this front building as well, too, I don't know how we make it any shorter, which justifies going up.
Mm-hmm.
To be candid with you, I think we, in this building, if it's able to be reused, we have more than enough office space than what we, than what we need right now. So my real struggle is how do we get, and this is the stuff we'll have to lay out, is how do we get, things like drive-through bays without tearing up too much of the view corridor, without having to tear down all the other buildings. It's trying to find all those balances out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a puzzle there, but I think we need some additional help to get.
Right.
There's a puzzle that can be solved, but we need some additional help to help us get past some of those blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I totally agree with you on... three things. One is we need some professional design help. Two, we can't and should not spend $5 million. But I think three is that we're ready to spend the $1 million. And that's, I guess that's why I've been pushing this, is we're ready to spend the $1 million. Because it's earmarked, it's saved, you've done a great job of keeping that nest egg there. But it doesn't do us any good to keep sitting on it and talking about the issue when it's time. It's time to see how far $1 million will get us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll get us ambulance, fire, and police into one building. I really do, on this site. And I agree that this building, that building out there is not worth much, and this building is not worth much either. But to tear them both down is going to take $5 million. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready to spend the $1 million, and my opinion is that, yes, authorize staff to pursue.
Well said.
I'll second.
You'll second that?
Yes, I will.
I don't know if that was a motion.
I thought he said authorize staff to pursue. So
Gina and Derek can come into this discussion. But before we do that, if there's
any, have something to say.
Any staff or citizens comments,
I just trying to shorten it up.
Before we go any further.
I thought that was a motion.
Well, it's a discussion. That's basically what this is. It has a little different protocol, but Craig and Hugh and Denny and Andy, Dan, Scott, I mean, if you get, anybody wants to weigh in on this, and
let's just see where it goes.
Yeah.
I think we just go with it.
Okay, you guys are all nodding your heads. So,
my turn.
Your turn.
Well, I agree with part what's going on right now. We should move forward with this project, but I think it should be done in phases, so it's not going to be a big expense to the city all at once. We have the money there, but that doesn't mean we have to spend it all right now. And I would like to see us away from leasing our EMS building.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mike, is it possible to through a selection process, I think in something like this, the opportunity for more than just one firm or one group to come up with ideas, because, you know, there's geniuses in more than one office, and because of what we want to do and what funding we process we want to utilize, obviously we don't want to do something and have to redo it or undo what was done for the next phase. And I'm wondering if there was a couple, three different groups say, hey, this is what our overall goal is with the site and what and how to do it in phases, and then come up and have them present like a master plan, and then we take those master plans to the citizens, because ultimately this is who we're serving, and the benefits that they would want to have as far as ease of access, you know, providing the service to them, efficiencies for the ambulance and the fire, et cetera, versus just locking into one particular firm. That would be my only endpoint. What's your comment on that?
I like the idea. I like, especially if there's some way to get somebody's brain power thinking on it and open up our eyes to something that we hadn't considered before. I know kind of how to do that with a general contracting process over here. I'm still trying to get myself up to speed on the design build to see if there's an opportunity to do that too. That's why I've set up some of these meetings with these other folks. I like the concept. I know how to do it here, but I'm not sure how it happens here, and that's what I need to find out.
I mean, like the mayor said, obviously, that, you know, they're going to invest, you know, effort in doing that, and I don't anticipate that being at no charge, but I think it's would serve us well to have as much input from, you know, locals or close regional entities that have that ability to give us a different way of looking at something. And in the end, we may pick two of one and one of another, you know, and say, okay, and then the system say, we like this, we really like that, and put it together. So I think number one, financial has to be paramount, how we move forward fiscally responsible. And number two, that we don't forget that this ultimately is to serve the citizens of Boyne City. You know, and there maybe there's some ways of reconfiguring the offices and, you know, centralization, and I think there's enough square footage, you know, internally to move things around. But again, that's where the experts are going to come in. And as I come in, I really like the 3D walkthrough ability. So whoever we go with, I would sincerely hope that they have access to that type of plan, because it really helps people visualize more than just a 2D layout. And then they can break it down. So this phase can be done, you know, at this point, approximately this much, and so on and so forth. So.
You kind of got my juices going there on this one. You know, think about that. You know, I think, you know, especially your comment, there's geniuses in more than one office.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that we could advertise, you know, the different trade manuals and stuff, a $25,000 grand prize for the best design, you know, something
like
that.
Let's think outside the box.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just maybe it'd take 50, you know, I mean, you know, you look at architectural costs, you're usually 10, 12,
I like
14%.
That idea.
But, you know, offer a $25,000
sure.
prize for the best
sure.
design, and who
so
knows,
they have, I mean,
might pop up.
Yeah.
They have services like that on the web, too,
yeah.
where you toss out a concept, and all of a sudden these people will go out there and design something
oh,
for you.
Sure,
about,
yeah.
Like, like logos and things like that, that people are basically
mm-hmm.
independent all over
sure.
the Interland that'll come up with that stuff. I'm just trying to think if there's a way to tie that into
mm-hmm. it.
The same approach.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I think that might be something for you to add to your 3 points that you previously talked about. So thank you for that comment. Geniuses in more than one office.
Yeah, I like that comment too. That's
pretty good.
But I agree with Mr. Gaylord that, I mean, this is a when we're done with this, this has got to be something that I think hopefully the people of Boynton City will be proud of, not only now, but years to come, and that serves them well and efficiently as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura?
I'm in full agreement with that statement. I think that we have to look long-term and do it well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need a motion then to allow our city commissioner and city manager and city staff to secure this for facility design and one of the different raises outlined previously. So it's not very often I make a motion, but I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Ready to burn some more midnight oil?
I don't think we're going to be anywhere near midnight. I think if you're going to item H, the request to go into closed session, even though it's past curfew.
Can we?
I don't think we'll be that long.
Okay.
Well, you don't think so? Okay.
No, I don't. I would think we could be able to wrap this up probably within 20 minutes or so.
Well,
okay.
What we should do is
skip to good of the order, or no?
I could do the good of the order first, because that's part of our regular business. And Tom, do you want to start? Do you have anything good of the order tonight?
I do not.
Jane?
No, I'm good.
Derek?
Nope, just getting ready to... Looking forward to the stroll of the street, starting early.
Mm-hmm. Laura?
I just have one item I want to ask about, and that's the new fireworks or law that went into effect in Michigan, and how that's going to impact us come this 4th of July.
We're going to have a lot more fireworks going on, but the specifics of the law, they allow the fireworks to explode and leave the ground, but there's also specifics that closely match our city ordinance as far as not allowed on public property, not allowed, you know, it's basically you can fire it on your own property.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the city ordinance will still be applicable as far as the time limitations, which are only...
What are the times?
Well, they can shoot until mm-hmm. midnight.
Okay, so...
And then between midnight and 6 or 7, I don't recall the exact time, they're prohibited. But on the holidays,
mm-hmm.
there can be no restrictions from the day before, the day of, or the day after.
But still the time frame until midnight only?
No. No
mm-hmm.
restrictions.
No restrictions at all?
No. That's the way the law is written.
Yeah.
Well, some of the communities in Michigan, and I have to say, I did some checking on the internet, and there are cities that are making their own ordinances. You can restrict it by time.
But the state law says that a local governing body cannot restrict.
Yeah, I read that. That's why I'm confused.
Their laws would be in violation of the state law to pass an ordinance like that.
What happens, and this is just a hypothetical, what happens if we're in a high fire danger situation where there's no burning and they're setting off these fireworks?
But I do believe that if someone is going to shoot them up on their own property, they better make sure it lands on their property.
And if it lands on somebody else's and starts a fire, then they're going to have a huge lawsuit, aren't they?
Well, it's a violation even if it just lands on somebody else's property, I believe. You can shoot them on your own property. And that's it.
What on the landing on somebody else's, what exactly are we referencing there?
Bottle rockets and whatever.
No, I know the devices. I'm just referring, is it the, do we have an ordinance in the city that would dictate that?
No,
because state law totally repealed all the restrictions.
But the state law, the state law actually has a section in it that says you can only shoot them
on your own property.
You can't shoot them on public property, churches, schools.
Right.
Launching it. Does it dictate landing, though?
Your property, though?
It only says launch.
It's an interpretation.
It is an interpretation.
That's something that we will find out. Yeah. We have already had a couple of complaints about fireworks, and basically our response is they're illegal, there's nothing we can do. And that's what's going to be, as the 4th gets closer, there will be a lot more of those where people are calling 911 and saying they're shooting off fireworks, and our response is going to have to be
the law changed.
A lot of things, and they're legal. There's nothing we can do about it
that's
until
just
midnight, and then on the 4th, even through the night.
Yeah, you also have to be 18 years and over.
Yeah.
But most of these fireworks are not going to be used by the over crowd. It's going to be used by the younger crowd. And
there's also a prohibition in there to use them if you're intoxicated.
Right, right. I
so
see that.
It could be a very interesting 4th of July.
So how do you police all that? How do you?
Case by case basis. When we get a complaint, we will check it out, see if there is a violation of the law that we can do anything about. If there is, we will.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing we can do, that's what our response to the complainants will have to be. The law has changed and there's nothing we can do.
Okay.
You should also be aware that this isn't just the 4th of July.
Oh, I know. It's all any holiday.
Yeah.
I know. That's.
So if someone decides to shoot off their fireworks at 1 o'clock in the morning on Christmas, they can't legally.
Yeah, see, that's really way.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't like this at all because I'm not in favor of fireworks. I have seen some bad accidents with some of those rockets going horizontal rather than up the way they were supposed to and setting people on fire. So
there are also all sorts of requirements in the new law as far as insurance fees and all that for people who are selling the fireworks. So
right.
When that happens and the lawsuits trickle down.
$10 million doesn't cover somebody who's maimed for life.
Or dead.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to see what.
There's an awful lot of little parts in there that are just going to make money for the state, and that's probably what drove that.
I'm sure that's what it is, because
the licensing fees, the fire use work.
And the taxes. The tax income revenue is in the billions, like $12 billion. Yeah, something like that. Okay. All right, well, thank you. I just wanted to ask about it because it's coming.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is item H, request of the city manager to go into closed session to consider the purchase of real property as provided in MCL 15268D of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Project Act 267, 1976. That is a motion. I need a second.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
You can use the conference room next to my office.
Yes. Yep.